The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
I don't know what you're so scared of, Natty. You've already got blood on your hands. We're almost there. It's been waiting for us.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Daphne.
And I'm Penny.
And this is Yellow Jackets WTF. This is our 10th episode.
And this episode, we are covering Yellow Jackets Season 1, Episode 4, Bear Down. And as with previous episodes that we've been going back and doing this kind of deeper dive, spoilers will be discussed in this episode. We are looking back at these episodes, knowing full well what happened, all the way to episode 10. So if you have not watched the series yet to completion, you may want to do that before you listen to us.
Just blow off whatever you have planned for the next 10 hours and go to it.
Sleep is not important.
You won't be sorry. No. And you may not want to sleep after you watch it either. There's a lot that happens in this series, and I have such a passion for it, as I know the two of you do as well. So I'm really excited to break this episode, Bear Down.
Yeah. Why don't we go ahead and get started with our fucked up moment of the week? Daphne, you want to go first?
Okay. I went back and forth on this because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to mention, because I always try to think of something that neither of you will mention. And so in this situation, I'm going to talk about Lottie has seen the symbol for the first time. This is the first time that someone has actually seen it and acknowledged it, even though she didn't say anything. You could tell she was really looking deeply at it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we know what that symbol, we've seen so much of that symbol in the rest of the series, both in the past and present. That's why it became my fucked up moment of the week, because to me, it's the beginning of the craziness that comes for our girls out in the wilderness. Our girls and guys out in the wilderness.
All right. How about you, Penny?
I was certain I was going to go with one of the many fucked up moments in Nat and her father's relationship and that whole scene. But then we get to the end of the episode and I had forgotten about Misty tripping Coach Scott so intentionally. Yeah. And then, you know, he knows she did it and he turns and looks at her like, what the fuck, Misty? And she's like, oh no, are you okay? You need to be more careful. And I figured that was like a warning to him not to cross her.
Yeah. Don't fuck with me, Ben. I'm going to take you down. And this is how easy I can take you down.
Yeah, you're completely at
literally
my mercy.
Yes. Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. I think just a continuation of more of the Annie Wilkes vibe.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Creepy. Now, there's a reason Stephen King loves this show.
Yep.
And I think in it, he sees bits and pieces of characters that he's put into the universe. And so he must, you know, really just enjoy seeing the twists and turns mm-hmm. that the showrunners are taking with these characters.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think the beginning scene, the bear down scene, really kind of shows
how blocked that out.
She's so thriving off of being involved in, I mean, and I'm a nurse. Like, I've totally been there. It's embarrassing. It's really hard. You try to make people feel as comfortable as they can, but it's terrible. And she's thriving off of being involved in those intimate moments that nobody really wants anybody else to be involved in.
Yeah, no. The last thing that you want.
Yeah, it's, that is, yep. My fucked up moment of the week, and I'm probably going where you were originally going to go, Penny, was Natalie brandishing a rifle at her father in defense of her mother, who he was beating the shit out of. And then he trips in his haste to get back inside of the trailer, most likely to beat the shit out of Natalie. And trips while, you know, kind of scrambling with a loaded gun in his hand and blows off half his face. And I think what's even more fucked up about that is that it seems obvious that Natalie's mother has blamed her for mm-hmm. that whole situation, probably for her whole life.
And I think Natalie blames herself. The nightmare she has, she seems to think it was her fault.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, and when she's having that dream or that, yeah, it's basically a dream. And her dad says to her, I don't know what you're so scared of, Natty. You've already got blood on your hands.
Right.
We're almost there. It's been waiting for us.
Yeah. What does that
it's
mean?
Like, oh, man.
It's been waiting for us. That was really creepy.
Yeah. It's traumatic. While I was horrified by what we saw in her interactions with her father, the things he said to her, the way he was with her mother, I was also grateful that we got to see this look into her life. So it really helps explain that it wasn't just what happened out in the woods that really made her who she is. She had a really tough childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it all, in addition, no wonder she's had such a hard time.
I mean, she really had, you know, your parents are supposed to love you. And many people have that relationship with at least one of their parents, and she didn't have that with either. Both the people that were supposed to protect her and keep her safe and love her obviously did a really shitty job of all that.
Yeah. It also explains why she so quickly identifies with and sympathizes with Travis when no one else really seems to, because she knows what it's like to have a shitty father who dies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that even though he was a shit dad, his loss is still impacting him. She went through that. And so she absolutely feels for him. She's really wise beyond her years. And I think she's had to be.
I think
it seems like she had to parent herself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There was one point near the end of the episode where she starts bonding with Travis, where she says to him, it doesn't matter how shitty they are, it still fucks you up when they're gone. And I think that really encapsulates everything that both of them have gone through, because we don't know yet how Coach Martinez was as a father. We just know that he and Natalie's dad both died in tragic ways.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get to see a little bit more into what Travis's home life was like.
Right.
It's interesting.
To help us, you know, frame that picture.
None of the girls have talked about Coach Martinez in the way I would think a championship soccer team would feel about their coach. Maybe he was mm-hmm. a jerk to them too.
The only interaction that we got to see was his interaction with Jackie.
Yeah.
Right.
And why she is the captain. And we got to see him kiss his wife goodbye when she really didn't want him to.
Yeah.
Like he tried. Something's there. Like, I hope I trust the showrunners to give us what we need.
I agree.
They'll give us the information that we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In dribs and drabs.
Yes, little by little, we will put this puzzle together. Just going to take a little time.
All right. Let's talk about our important points. Daphne, you want to go first?
Yes, I have a bunch of different points. I think the first one I want to talk about, though, is Thaisa, because in this episode, it's when we really learn about her being a vegetarian, or she doesn't eat meat. Like, she can't even stand to look at it. She puts something in her mouth and realizes meat is there, and so she quickly spits it out. So that got me thinking about, okay, why is it that she doesn't want to eat meat? Like, she didn't have a problem out in the woods. So I'm guessing something happened, which we haven't seen, obviously. But you see Thaisa as an adult. Most of what I have is about Thaisa as an adult. She is getting ready to go to this, one of those those little cocktail parties where there are potential donors.
Yep.
And a lot of schmoozing. And at one point you see her, you know, Simone is quizzing her on different things and she's trying to answer them all. She's trying to be perfect, which we know about Thaisa. She's very competitive, but she also tries to be the best, like be perfect. And she even says, I can't fuck this up. Like, I really can't afford to fuck this up. I'm behind in the polls because of that ridiculous ad that was thrown out. She's got to be on her toes. But at one point you see her and it's almost like she's spinning because she's in a room and people are coming and pitching to her and talking to her. And it's all these different people. All she wants to do is to go and speak with this one person that could help her candidacy. But instead, as soon as she turns around, someone's coming every second to talk to her. And that, you know, you could tell she was just, you know, spun out about it.
Everybody wanted something from her.
Yeah.
They did.
They either wanted to use her position. They're hoping that if she wins, they're already trying to get in with her to get something from her. Mm-hmm. And then you have the people that just want her story. And I bet it's been a lifetime of that.
It's interesting. Daphne kept saying spun out. And I was I rewound a couple of times and watched the scene because they did a beautiful job with a camera circling her to cause you, the viewer, to kind of feel spun. And also you saw her sip lots of champagne. It was a really interesting scene. It reminded me, this was one of my points too, it reminded me of Get Out. Have you guys seen Get Out? Mm-hmm. The horrible party at the beginning where people are saying things to Chris like, oh, I'm a big fan of Tiger Woods. Like the microaggressions.
Yeah.
These were like looky-loo microaggressions, except they were really blatant about it. Wanting to tell her for her, like her own good, for her career, that she should tell the story because, you know, it would be better for her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I hate fancy cocktail parties. It just looked awful.
Yeah.
She finally does get away. Yeah. She gets away and goes. And then Diane, the one person that she's been trying to talk to, that she kind of looks up to, comes in and sits with her. And they start to have a discussion about the food not being, you know, there's never enough food. And did you see that pig? It really was too much. So they split up, you know, they share a cigarette, they split a Clif Bar. Yep. And Diane starts schmoozing her and telling her, you know, you're a woman that rises above and you need to find people who can really help you. And then she says, all I ask in return. Those are the words that you never want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you show me who you really are.
Right.
I'm like a well that you can whisper your secrets to. Well, Thaisa thinks at the time she can just tell her the same thing that they've been telling, the same story that's been spun.
Right.
And this woman is not going to accept that. And that's when Thaisa, I think, realizes that people, even the ones you look up to, politics is a really tricky business. And those that you look up to, they've all, you know, everything has a price. There is a price for everything. And this is the price. And I loved her response to Diane, who said, you know, I don't really like your tone. And she just says, I will perfectly calibrate my tone as I tell you to go fuck yourself.
Beautiful moment.
And at that point, that was one of my favorite Thaisa moments of the whole series. Because she put her foot down, was like, you know what? I will compromise myself in some ways, but I'm not going to do this. And so I feel like we got a lot of insight into Thaisa the politician and how I don't think she really fits into this world, this political world. I don't think it's, I know she wants to do a lot of good, but I don't think she fits in with all of the others who are there. I mean, it almost was like a meat market, you know? It just,
there weren't a lot of authentic seeming people there.
No.
And
not at all.
And I guess the pig head being served up on a platter was kind of a metaphor for how she felt. And then she, I don't know if she imagined or hallucinated a deer head in place of the pig.
Yeah.
I think that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then she saw a white wolf. Do you guys remember in the episode where Van gets mauled by a wolf and then then Thaisa kills that wolf? Was that a white wolf?
I
thought those were two different wolves.
Yeah, I thought that wolf was a gray wolf, and this being a white wolf stood out to me because they're not common.
But I also thought the wolf that was mauling Van wasn't the same wolf that Thaisa killed.
Oh, interesting.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it is either.
Yeah. Because there was a pack of wolves.
Yeah. And now I need to go watch that episode again. But I didn't have time before tonight.
I know.
I did note that there was a guy in that scene at the cocktail party who he said, wait till you see what we have. We have a whole pig. And he said, nose to tail. And I thought, who describes a dinner that way?
Yeah, gross.
I mean, most people don't describe it. And he said, I can't wait to have an ear. Like, that's not typical cocktail dinner conversation.
No. To me, he said that for a reason.
Yeah.
I feel like he was trying to get at her.
Yeah.
And I mean, she really was on her own. I mean, Simone was over talking with someone else. And at one point when I'm watching her, because it was like a spin around circle, I'm thinking she really is on her own and she must feel like that right now.
Mm-hmm.
She can't get away from the hangers on, mm-hmm. the ones that want to jump on her bandwagon.
Yep. Everybody wants a piece of her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a terrible feeling.
I felt like the wolf hallucination actually appeared almost to help her. Like, hey, follow me out of the room. You could use a break. But it wasn't 100% clear.
Yeah.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
How about your next point, Penny?
I am going to defend Travis a little bit, taking advantage of Jason not being here, because I know he hates Travis.
Yes, Penny. Yeah.
This is the first episode where we see a softer side of Travis, right? He opens up to Nat after she helps him with the ring, and the ring, the whole quest to get the ring for Javi. I think he felt really, really bad about the gum thing that happened in the last episode. And so he wanted to do this for Javi because he could tell Javi just needed something of his father's to hang on to. And, you know, the story about the nickname and how he got it. It makes me understand why he would be so defensive and have such a chip on his shoulder if, like, all the cool kids in school are constantly calling him this name. And I got the sense when people were calling him that they knew he didn't like it, right? Even at this point in the show, yeah. Like when people mm-hmm. have called him Flex, they're doing it to be jerks, even though they may not know why he doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. I loved when they were doing the gun test thing and Nat says to him, "Do you enjoy being like this?" It was like the beginning of her insight. That was funny. It was a great line. It was really funny. She's very, very sassy, although no one's as sassy as Van. Van is the sassiest.
She really
is. Yeah, I just felt for Travis. It was like, because you can kind of see that underneath all that bluster and anger and, like, you know, meanness, that he's, like, insecure and defensive and scared. And he doesn't really have anybody who he's close to in his life. I also know that teenage boys at that age go from, like, scrawny, underdeveloped, you know, 4'10" to, like, handsome stud in, like, 6 months. And it takes them a while for their brain to catch up. So mm-hmm. I don't think he knows that he's, like, handsome and strong. Right?
No, I don't think so either. I think he still looks at himself as the kid that gets bullied and called Flex.
Exactly.
I think that's how he sees himself.
He makes me sad. I feel really, really sad for Travis all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And he's being a dick, but the girls aren't being nice to him back. Like, several of them were, you know, the things they said about, you know, like, him jacking off. And I think being that one lone teenage guy with this whole group of girls is probably really hard and isolating.
Well, we know how it goes later on when he's almost
right.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, they almost kill him,
man. Yes. They almost kill
and Jackie,
him.
Yeah. For all intents and purposes, rapes him. I mean, he's all messed up on shrooms at the time, but she's stone cold sober.
But she didn't know he was on shrooms.
Yeah, but she still kind of, he was like, "What's happening? What's going on?" And she's like, "Just do it."
But I thought that was afterwards. I thought that was afterwards because she said, "It's up to you. Do it or don't do it." And he went for it. So,
yeah.
And I think it was only afterwards when he was like, "But we're not really here." And she was like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I think it was only afterwards she was like, "Something's not right here."
Yeah.
I did think we saw him let his guard down with Natalie, and then again when he gave Javi the ring, I thought that was a little sweet moment. Probably the first sweet moment we've seen from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he has been really, like, abrasive almost at times, and I think we saw him smile, like he just looked more content than what we've seen from him. So, again, we didn't get a lot of before the crash, Travis.
Right.
All we really got was Travis in the car.
Right.
You know, so we don't really even know. We're just getting these pieces as we go.
And the only other piece of that was that he pointed a loaded rifle at Natalie's face, and that was upsetting, and that's not cool, and everybody knows that's not cool.
Yeah
And I think he was fired up, and some of it I think is hormonal, like, as Penny was just saying, kids at that age, they grow up very quickly in the span of 6 months, and they're mind doesn't always catch up with where their body is. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of hormones going for him and for the girls. And I think they, you know, he never should have reacted that way. But we also know that they're hungry. They're tired. They've been through a lot, even thus far. And I think I'm not cutting him slack. I'm just saying, I think there are things that contribute to his reaction.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. My first point, I'm just going to continue with talking about Natalie since we've been doing a lot of that. Natalie kills a deer, which she's pretty emotional about. Her dad had said that she cried when he took her hunting and they killed a turkey. And when she's aiming and shooting the deer, you can see tears trickling down her cheeks. And I mean, just kudos to the actress. She is just freaking amazing. Like, you feel really every minute of it. And the way her and Travis kind of lovingly stroke the deer after it's pretty much killed. It seems like they're in amazement that they were able to do it.
Yeah.
And also kind of horrified that they killed the deer. Coach Ben seems shocked that they actually come strolling in with a deer, which I thought was funny. I think he really sent him out there without thinking they were going to be able to do anything. And then he asks for volunteers to bleed it out. And I thought it was really interesting that Shauna was the person who stepped up to that.
Although I noticed Misty raised her hand.
I didn't see that.
And Coach didn't see her, and Shauna did step up. And I don't know if that's what Misty was punishing him for later, or if it was late payback for hitting her last week. I don't know.
I did not see that. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was a really good scene. And then, of course, you have when they're eating, just all those lip smacking noises. Oh. They really do a good job.
Yeah, real close-ups, and all of them are licking their fingers, and like it's pretty disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not for people with misophonia.
My cats do that when they get their canned food at night. It's just, it's a ridiculous sound, and every time I hear it now, it takes me to Yellow Jackets.
That's hilarious.
Like, oh guys, come on,
yeah.
Ugh. They just, sloppy and, it's just a bit crazy.
All right. You're up, Daphne.
All right. So, okay. You know we're going to have to talk about Misty. You know we have to talk about it. One of the funniest things in this episode, Misty doesn't want to be left out of anything. And Natalie not responding to her or wanting to strategize with her is not going to stop her. I mean, she calls Natalie and she's got this suicide website up because she's trying to counsel her over the death of her friend, like how to, you know, process through Travis's death. But Natalie really doesn't want to talk to her, although it looks like in her phone, she has changed it from don't pick up to Misty.
Oh, that's progress.
Really? So that's progress. Misty doesn't take no for an answer, basically figures out where Natalie's going, and they go and then goes to the same bar with one of her charges from the nursing home that she works at. I don't know this woman's name, but she had one of the funniest lines in this episode. Basically, you remind me of my granddaughter. No one really likes her either.
So great.
All I thought was, I don't know your name, but thank you so much because that made me laugh really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, Misty sees that Jessica is there and she tries to let Natalie know. Natalie's not answering the phone, not a text message, not a phone call. Until Kevin notices that Misty is in the bar.
Mm-hmm. That was funny.
And Natalie is just pissed. Like, she goes over and talks to her and dismisses her. And is like, no. This, you know, she basically tells her off. And even that doesn't stop Misty. Because Misty goes to talk to Jessica and a very telling statement now that we know what happens with Jessica. I know when you look at me, you don't see someone you should be afraid of, but you're wrong. Yes.
That's Jessica, very true.
You should have listened.
She warned you.
The warning.
When people tell you who they are, believe them.
She warned you. Yes. Yes. I think it's very telling, too. We've talked about Misty tripped Ben. I mean, it's obvious. I rewatched that scene twice. She really tripped him. That was on purpose. And I do think that she was pissed at him for not picking her to bleed out the deer. She wanted to do it.
I didn't catch that part of it. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she really wanted to bleed out the deer. So I think she's trying to assert some, not authority, perhaps, but she's basically trying to make sure he knows that you don't fuck with her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, how many of these little things have to happen before you realize that you don't?
Yeah. I thought it was funny, the website she was looking up when she first called Natalie was like, what to and what not to say to someone grieving a suicide. And I just thought that was such a Misty thing to do.
It was, yeah. Of course it was.
And you know, it's funny, like, it's awkward and it's weird, but also it's Misty trying to, like, be a friend in her way.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be a friend, trying what's the right thing to do in this situation. So it's just like she's just missing those social cues that most people would just call somebody up and be natural, but she doesn't know how to do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't. She's fascinating, though.
I loved how Nat reacted when she said, I have plans, and Misty says, with who? And Nat makes this face, and she's like, don't worry about it. That was such a funny thing to say. Don't worry about it.
Right.
I mean, Misty even tried saying that she has a guy who can get into Travis's email.
Right.
And that wasn't enough for Natalie at the time. But this was also at a point where Natalie really starts pushing the issue that Travis was murdered.
Right.
Yeah.
And we learn later on about their pact, which we've talked about the last couple of episodes. We learn that they had a pact, and that's why she so firmly believes this.
Right.
But I do think Misty, I mean, the girls kind of, in the past, we did get that one little scene with Misty where the girls were kind of, they were not nice to her. They were teasing her about, mm-hmm. oh, Coach Ben needs a sponge bath. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just,
she's always been the sidekick because she wasn't a member mm-hmm. of the team. Mm-mm. She was like the mascot. The manager, helper.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I think, you know, she has been the butt of jokes for a long time, and that's taken its toll. And so she figures out how to be important to everybody in whatever way she can.
She wants to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
So she's always looking for that way to fit in. And this, it's no different. Like, she wants to help Coach. She wants to fit in. I'm starting to wonder if, because of her tripping of him and the things that she keeps doing, if that's why he decided he had to finally act like they were in a relationship, because he started to get afraid of her.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he also doesn't. I think he also is immature and doesn't understand how girls work. And I think that was a big mistake on his part.
Yeah.
That he thought he could contain it and handle it. Yeah.
And he's gay.
He thought he could handle it and contain it. And he just doesn't understand. You cannot handle Misty Quigley.
No, you can't.
There might not be a right answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. A teenage girl is one thing. Misty as a teenage girl is like, you can't, you know, there's no guidebook for how to deal with it. You know, there just isn't. And so he bit off more than he could chew with her. And I still don't think she's paid him back yet. I think that something will come at some point for that lie that he told her.
I also, just going down the Misty rabbit hole, I thought it was interesting that when Misty calls Shauna at the end, Shauna it seems like they have really bad blood because Shauna was like, I told you never to call me again.
Yeah. I don't understand what Misty's motivation was, except maybe that she was in a sort of Littlefinger way. She was like, I just need things to move.
Yeah.
So maybe I can prod this and get something going.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that she was stirring the pot.
Mm-hmm.
She wants more to happen. She's probably thinks she's gone as far as she can with Natalie on her own. And so now she has to stir things up with some of the others in order to be able to insinuate herself into the situation.
Right. I agree. All right. Penny, your next point?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Nat, but this time about this sunny, sweet, vulnerable persona that she puts on to work over Kevin. You know, it's so premeditated. She goes to her house and she clearly doesn't want to see her mother. She just wants that tape. And she says, this is all I need. And you know, at dinner or drinks or whatever with Kevin, she's like, oh, and how did you become a cop? And it's at first when I watched the episode originally, I was like, what's going on? Is she really into Kevin? Is this what happens when Nat's into someone? And then I was like, oh, she's working him for the police file. And it was just, it was so premeditated and she was so good at it. She clearly knew that he had feelings for her and she, you know, she gives him that kiss. First, she can't kiss him. Then she kisses him and then they hug and she has this look on her face like, nailed it. It was a little terrifying to see what Nat was capable of. And then, of course, we see her pull the same thing on the bank lady later. And the bank lady is on to her and yet she still does it. So Nat is like a fantastic con man. Very impressed with her. I feel bad for Kevin, though.
Yeah.
He was for real. He really wanted close to her.
He's a sweetie.
Yeah.
See, I kind of thought Natalie has genuine feelings for Kevin, but she just, right now, it's all grief for Travis and anger and, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously she's using Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Purposefully. But I did think there was something there. You know, when they have the scene with Kevin's son on the soccer field, I kind of got the feeling that was pretty genuine.
Yeah. I think she had a moment there, but I can't remember exactly how that scene ends. She like walks away. I think it frightens her that she had a sincere moment. Because she's so hostile to everybody as this, you know, huge defense mechanism. But when they were kids, they were clearly very close. Like, he meant a lot to her when they were teenagers.
The scene with young Kevin and Natalie is just so sweet and adorable. And young Kevin is just so cute. You could just, the actors did a great job with that scene. You can see how.
You can tell.
Oh.
Yeah, you can tell how.
They were just babies.
He's in love with her, and she may not realize it, but she's painting his nails, and it's just, it is. It's a really sweet scene.
Yeah.
Interrupted by Natalie's terrible father.
And as much as I felt bad for Kevin, I also didn't feel bad, like, I felt worse for Nat, because Kevin had a regular life and didn't have this whole crazy thing happen to him, and he went on and had a regular high school experience, and so somehow, not that it's okay, because it's not, but somehow my sympathies were still with Nat in those scenes.
There's no winner, you know, like,
no.
Everybody on this show has a sad story.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do. I mean, he got to run away. And Natalie got the brunt of everything with her father that culminated in him dying. And the things he said to her, I mean, how degrading he was, and calling her names and taunting her. He got to go home. He got to get away. She had to stay and deal with that. And that was just so sad.
I mean, she literally had her father's blood on her face. Standing there. I can't imagine you ever recover from that. And the only thing that could make it recede is a worse trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But she brought her father's death into the plane trauma in that nightmare. You know, she's linked them.
Mm-hmm.
She's not getting rid of that anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. And haunting.
It's another.
And, you know, haunting is a memory she has of her father.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not mm-hmm. a great one. And now she's hunting. She's a hunter. And so they are linked.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We are covering almost everything I have on my list, but I will talk a little bit. And I know I listened to the podcast last week. You guys did a great job. It was really fun to be a listener. And I know you guys talked about Jackie and Shauna, as we seem to every week. But I will say that I have tried to inspect my own feelings about that whole situation. And so I thought about that this week. Jackie drags Shauna out of a burning plane in the first episode to protect her, to keep her safe. In this episode, she shoves Van out of the path of danger. Later in the episode, she asks Van if they are even. And she says it in a really nice, really humble way. She doesn't, like, demand, we're even now. You know, she's it's a plea. And Van is interrupted before she can answer, but it looked like the answer was going to be no. Like, Van looked like she was pissed that Jackie had asked that question. Why isn't it enough what she has done for the other girls and maybe for us as well?
I'm not sure why Van wasn't moved by Jackie saving her life that way, because that was pretty dramatic. And Van did look like she was like going to say like, no, or I don't want to talk about it or something like that before they got interrupted. I don't know about that. I know that we know a lot more about Jackie and how she's treated Shauna than, you know, the rest of the girls do. And so that's why I kind of have a chip on my shoulder about Jackie, like, and knowing that she's, even after it's pointed out to her that she's not helping with, like, taking care of everybody and pulling her weight, that she still doesn't. Like, even just getting water, she thinks is, like, a really big imposition on her. She says something at one point like, well, I don't know how to do all these wilderness things. And it's not like all those other girls did either. Mm-hmm. They're all figuring it out. I don't know, Jackie's just annoying. And I know some people online are saying, like, oh, you all just don't like the pretty girl. But I'm like, they're all pretty? Like, all of them?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
There are moments. There are moments that I'm endeared to Jackie. And then there are moments that I'm not. And it's kind of a fine line. Like, I might like her one episode and not like her during another one. It really changes based on what she does.
I think it's real curious that the show has taken such great pains to paint a negative picture of her, because they really have. But yet they also have these flashes of heroics. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting to me that those heroics are kind of when she's not really thinking too hard about it. It's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she pushed Van out of the way, but didn't even move herself. And no one tried to get her out of the way.
Right.
Which I thought said a lot.
Yeah. This was also the first episode where we saw Ghost Jackie. Shauna sees her on the bridge, and Ghost Jackie is warning Shauna, somebody's going to get hurt. You know, Ghost Jackie isn't being like, you're cheating on your husband just like you cheated on me with my own boyfriend, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's Shauna. That's Shauna's, dark passenger, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all I had. Daphne?
All right. Well, speaking of Shauna, I feel like we should talk about this week's edition of Book Club. Shauna yeah. and Adam.
Yeah.
Shauna and Adam, you know, we get to see adult Shauna getting ready, looking in the mirror, trying to prepare herself to go hang out with Adam. And during this date, they are reliving all the things that Shauna didn't get to do as a teen because she got married young and had a family, and just things didn't go the way Shauna really expected them to go, which we've talked about before. But she even wants to do something as silly as having someone buy alcohol for her, even though she could buy it herself. It's the process of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so she wants to go through these things, and Adam is humoring her and allowing it. And seeing her take the vodka and make the screwdrivers, like the orange juice, and I'm just like, you know, it took me back watching that. And she's just, Shauna is just so intelligent. But the way that she says things, like, has anyone ever told you that your obsession with biographical minutiae is the opposite of a turn on? Like, who else in the world would say something like that?
The kids from Dawson's Creek.
Yes, probably.
She was so cute when the liquor store parking lot guy was like, is this a sex thing? And she's like, no. Well, maybe. It could be. She was adorable in that moment. I couldn't have been more in love with Melanie. She was adorable. Murphy. Yeah. So cute.
Yeah. Then they go, they play some mini golf. They make a wager. And he says, well, if I win, you have to tell me something personal. Shauna's not even questioning it. She's like, when I win, I'm going to decide what we're doing next, and you have to do it. And she, of course, she wins. They go and they jump off the bridge, and then they go have sex in a car to the music of Republica, who's one of Ready to Go is one of my favorite songs from that era of time.
That scene is hot.
Yeah, it is.
Like, that's, it is. The chemistry between them is really palpable. That scene is really, like, that was a great scene. I loved it. You know, just really good.
And we know she likes to have sex in cars. They're so cute
together. Yeah.
Yes. And then it just made me sad to think that there's only a few more episodes with Adam before he's taken out way too early.
Yeah, everything is overshadowed with the two of them now that you know.
Now that you know what happens. Yeah,
it's tragic. So now it's all just tragic. And we don't know if Adam is somebody or if he's nobody. But he seems genuine and sweet and adorable.
Yeah.
He really digs her. Yeah. Like, he's really into
her. I hope we get Ghost Adam in season two. I've been hoping for lots of ghosts. I want Ghost Laura Lee. I want Ghost Adam. More Ghost Jackie. I guess I'm really into ghosts.
Yeah, speaking of Laura Lee, when they found the plane today and she gets in it and she starts messing around with all the dials and things, I just thought, oh, I wish they'd never found that plane.
So sad. Yeah.
All right, Penny?
I don't have any more big points, but building on, you know, talking about Adam, we get to see his back tattoos in this episode, and I paused and looked at them a lot, looking for clues, and I didn't think there was anything all that revelatory in there, but maybe it will mean something later. He has a bunch of mountains, and then there's, like, what looks like a right angle on a graph or some, like, geometry figures. There's a circle. Somebody online thinks it's the same circle that Sammy drew. I don't know. People online think all kinds of crazy stuff. And also,
I don't
very
think
handsome.
Those are just the actors' tattoos.
Yeah.
So I think it's meant to either be misdirection or it's meant to do something.
I think they put a lot of overlapping, like close together graphics to make it confusing and hard to interpret mm-hmm. so that we would do exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. Because mountains makes me think of, okay, yeah, mountains. Yep, they were in the mountains.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
Yep. I think I only have a couple little notes left. I thought Javi and Shauna are really sweet together. I hope that she is there for him in season two, because he's really probably the most isolated of the entire group. He's not in their age group. Travis is being not the best big brother. And nobody's really looking out for this kid. And so I really hope that Shauna is there for him as they continue to be out there. And I thought it was interesting that Shauna gives him some paper and talks to him about her journaling. And then later we see him journaling. And I'm just thinking, like, does he keep a journal while he's out there? Will they come up? Just some thoughts mm-hmm. about all of that.
Yep. I had a few notes, too. One that Akila warns them about the mushrooms and the ones that'll make you puke. And this is, and we see Misty like taking the information in, so we know what happens with that later. That Lottie is starting to show the effects of not being on her medication. She says about the cabin, bad things happened here, and then about the plane or about the place, unclear, it didn't want him to leave. So it's mm-hmm. just the beginnings of Lottie showing her either schizophrenia or supernatural abilities.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about you, Daphne?
I thought it was interesting how they were testing to see who could fire the gun by putting a quarter or a coin on it.
Mm-hmm.
See if it moved.
I've never heard of anything like that. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No. I'm not a hunter, but I've never seen that before.
Yeah, me either.
I thought it was incredibly cruel that Natalie's dad, just before he died, yelled at her and said, well, it's perfectly okay to keep a gun in the house. Your kid is too stupid to know how to use it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she was going to kill him. I remember I had my notes from the first time we did this episode, when we did the first five, and I wrote that she couldn't kill him. But when I rewatched it, I realized she pulled that trigger.
Yeah.
She just didn't have the safety on or off.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting, because I had thought originally that she just choked. But no, she was going to pull that trigger.
And that really would have ruined her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting in some ways, I think, like after her father ends up dead and she's just kind of staring. I'm sure she wished him dead. She wished him dead. She couldn't pull it off. And then he ends up dead anyway.
Yeah.
And I mean, that probably had good things and bad things, because he wasn't going to kick the shit out of her and her mother any longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I thought that was interesting. I had a couple notes. Always interesting to me when you see somebody smoking a cigarette with an oxygen tank right next to them. Always a good plan. Mm-hmm. I've seen it many times. Also taking care of people with burns from after they blow themselves up. My runner-up for the fucked-up moment of the week was Travis digging up his dead, decomposing father and Natalie cutting off his finger to get the ring.
Yeah.
This had so many opportunities for fucked-up moment of the week.
Yeah. That moment was also kind of sweet.
That she was...
It was.
You know, Travis getting the ring and her helping. She was willing to
do that for him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This show is really good at mixing, like, horrifying with other emotions.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Any other additional?
The only thing I wanted to mention, the only thing I have left on my list is Natalie and Kevin. We talked about their sweet moments. Just talking about Nirvana. And how they had become mainstream and how Kevin says he liked him better when they were just ours. And I don't think he was meaning the fans. I think he was meaning him and Natalie. Yes. Like, that was their thing.
Yes.
Because she even says, well, it's not their fault everybody loves them, but he really is focusing in on, you know, when they were ours, it was a really special thing
Sweet.
For them.
Sweet.
And I do have one other thing. This is an instance when Ben was talking about the gun being a dangerous weapon and they were going to treat it as such. And the fact that he had been hunting before. This is one of the times where we see him assert himself as a leader. And as time goes on over this season, we see that he is that right is getting taken away from him. Like, the girls are just not listening to him.
He's trying, but he's not trying good. Like, Travis points a loaded weapon at Natalie, and then we make him the hunter.
Yeah. Yep. And he's like, don't do that again.
Yeah.
But we give Natalie the gun, which pisses Travis off when he runs off. And it's just like, oh, boy.
But then I think, like, he's been through a lot. Traumatic amputation. He has Misty fucking Quigley as his nurse. And I think to some extent, he's just doing the best he can.
Yeah.
Yeah. This episode also, Sammy was hiding in a closet. I mean, it was very creepy.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering Sammy was like guarding Simone, you know, in case Thaisa turned into the other person.
Or one thing I'll tell you about kids, like, kids, like, they're so smart. You think you can hide things from them, and you really can't. I mean, you can, obviously, but you got to be really good at it. And so kids will, like, hang around and hear the adult conversation, and they know that, like, if they're quiet, they kind of disappear.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. people don't notice. Like, kids are really smart. And so I think he may have just been wanting to hear the adult conversation that he wasn't included in. Because I know I've seen my kids do that before.
He got very... Just the way that he was looking when he mm-hmm. left the room was just... Oh, boy. This is...
Right. And you think you're hiding things from your kids. I remember I had friends that were in the middle of, like, a pretty ugly divorce. And my friend said that her kids didn't know anything about it. And I'm like, well, your kids told my kids about it. So I'm pretty sure they know what's happening. Like, you can't... It's really hard to hide things like that from kids. They know what's going on. So I'm sure Sammy's heard a lot.
I wonder if the direction that Sammy regularly gets is open your eyes as wide as you can. Because he always looks like yeah. really bug-eyed, and it adds to yeah. his creepiness.
Yeah. Yep.
That's for sure. So yeah, that's all I have.
Okay. Let's take a break, and there's more to come. Please stay with us.
Any other putter but a putt-putt putter's gonna putt it in a puddle of putt. But a putt-putt putter is a much better putter, cause putt-putt makes it fun. So putt-putt for the fun of it, putt-putt for the fun of it. So bring a date and your brother or your mate and your mother and putt-putt a hole in one. Putt a putt a putt a putt 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 a putt a putt 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 makes it fun. So putt-putt for the fun of it, putt-putt for the fun of it. Putt-putt for the fun of it, putt-putt for the fun of it.
All right, we are back, and Penny is going to give us our news section this week.
Great. Instead of one long article, I have a bunch of bits and pieces. We all know Melanie Lynskey won the Critics' Choice Award for Best Actress in a Drama on Sunday, and she gave a speech that is making waves on the internet for how cute it was. She said, I really wasn't expecting this. I'm not going to attempt the New Zealand accent. I'm going to be really bad at this speech. There's so many amazing women in this category. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm mentioned alongside you. She thanks the rest of the cast, saying, they're the most talented group of people I've ever had the opportunity to work with. Sophie Nalise, you did about 70% of the work for me playing young Shauna. You're a miracle and I love you. You're all amazing. All my wonderful friends who I got to work alongside. Thank you. I feel like I'm going to faint, but I hope I don't. She thanks her husband, Jason Ritter, the love of her life, and their daughter. And then she says, the most important person I think I have to thank, and then I'm finished, is my nanny, Sally. I love her. She's an absolute angel. She's with my child, and my child is safe and taken care of, and she allows me to go and do my work. Thank you, Sally. I love you so much. And I saw on Twitter that Uzo Aduba, who was also nominated in that category, sent Melanie Lynskey flowers this morning to congratulate her, which I think is really classy of Uzo Aduba. I was reading a bunch of articles about this, and there's a lot of speculation about how Showtime and Yellow Jackets are going to handle Emmy nominations and who they're going to submit for Best Actress and who they're going to submit for Supporting Actress. You know, there's like a whole strategy game that people play to try to position their people. But in a show like this, where it's like an ensemble cast and everybody is so good, like they can't have all the nominations. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out. Christina Ricci was not at the Critics' Choice Awards because she is in Europe filming something top secret. I hope we get to find out about it soon. Very adorably, in some of the pictures, Tawny Cypress is holding a picture of Christina Ricci on like a popsicle stick. So she's in the pictures with them.
I saw that.
I thought that was really cute. Christina Ricci also has a film that's out right now that's being a big hit at Fright Fest in Glasgow. And it got picked up by some U.S. distributor, so we should be able to see it soon, called Monstrous, directed by Chris Siverston, whose work I wasn't familiar with. And it's about a single mother in the 1950s who is fleeing from an abusive ex-husband. And there's some supernatural element. And then I stopped reading about it because I don't like to know too much before I go into a movie. The cast of Yellow Jackets really showed at the Critics' Choice Awards red carpet. They all looked amazing. My favorite was Liv Hewson's ensemble. She had this like sort of Hollywood from the 40s glam look. And she was using a cane. I'm not sure why, but it looked really chic.
Wow.
Juliette Lewis, it was just announced, has joined the cast of an upcoming Hulu limited series called Immigrant. And it's going to also star Kumail Nanjiani, and he'll be playing a true character who is the man who created the Chippendales dancers. And notably, Murray Bartlett is also in it. He was the hotel manager in White Lotus, who like stole the show in White Lotus. And he also won a Critics' Choice Award this past weekend for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. I read an article and I couldn't find it to cite it, where Tawny Cypress was saying she really hopes Van survives because she wants the show to explore the adult Thaisa and Van meeting again after all these years when they were so in love when they were young. And now that Thaisa's marriage is falling apart, she thinks it'd be really interesting to see her reconnect with Van. Lynskey said in a tweet that Van is her husband Jason Ritter's favorite character, which I thought was hilarious since it should be Shauna, right? Also, the showrunners Ashley Lyle and Bart Nickerson were interviewed on the Critics' Choice red carpet, and they said, "We can't tease too much. Hopefully it'll be good about season two. I think what we can tease is that we aim to up the stakes in season two. So I'm going to leave it there. We're still figuring out exactly when we start filming, but we're looking to get going as quickly as we can." And about cliffhangers, yes, we will. The cliffhangers will be a big part of it. We don't want to leave anyone hanging for too long. And then finally, Jasmine Savoy Brown turns 28 on the 21st. Even though she plays, you know, 18-year-old Thaisa. So happy birthday to her. And in a February 7th interview on comicbook.com, she said, "I only know as far as the end of season one, and they have 5 seasons already written out in their head. So I only know the answers up to the end of season one. And no one's gotten it right. Literally, I have not seen a single correct theory, which is pretty cool. Actually, I have seen one thing about who the blackmailer is. That's the only correct theory. Nothing else. nothing correct about Antler Queen.
Huh. Ooh, yeah. Okay.
So I have to imagine all of our theories are also out there and none of them are correct. So we'll have to start from scratch about Antler Queen.
We are going to have to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Unless Jasmine Savoy Brown is messing with us, which is also possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody is, that's for sure.
She, by the way, is a fashion dynamo. She's been on the red carpet a lot promoting Scream 5 that came out this year also. And her fashion is fantastic. I really encourage people to subscribe to all these actresses' Instagrams because it's really fun to see them and see how they're dressing up. Juliette Lewis has been posting shows lately of her performing at like a rock concert, and they're really cool pictures.
That's awesome.
And that's the news.
All right. Thank you. All right. Daphne, you want to read our feedback for the week?
I will. Okay. So here is some feedback. Just finished listening to F Sharp and Dollhouse recaps. For reference, I'm a 47-year-old plumber from San Diego, also named Jason. I've been doing the rewatch along with you guys, and the more I watch and think about it, the more I'm digging into my theories. I've been thinking about Lottie's baptismal vision. What if the tunnels are real? They're on a huge lake. They haven't explored past the beach, directly in front of the cabin. Is it possible there is a dam with infrastructure that includes tunnels? Dams that produce hydroelectric power could be the cause of the compass going haywire. Also, to go back a ways, you guys were wondering why the cult would be following Lottie if she was Pit Girl. It's possible she was thought of as a hero slash savior for her, in their eyes, self-sacrifice to the forest. Best wishes to you guys, and I'll keep sending you guys my crazy speculation if you enjoy it. Cheers, Jason.
We do enjoy it.
I love it. Yeah.
Please send it. Yes,
Jason,
keep it up.
You're our people.
Yes. Send it in.
And we need fresh thinking. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
As we learned today, a lot of our theories are wrong. So
I don't know. I think over. On Reddit, there's a theory, like every possible, I think.
Yeah.
But we'll see. All right. Yeah. next, we have a call from our friend Anwen, all the way from New Zealand. I'm just going to play it right here.
Hey, guys. My fucked up moment of the week for episode 4 was right at the start with Misty trying to help Coach to poop. It was so cringe. I was just, oh my God. And I kind of wondered, would he be having her there to help him, or would he ask one of the dudes? I'm not a dude, so I don't know, but I kind of thought it would just be totally cringe for him to have her there. I really liked the scene with adult Nat and teenage Nat in the same room at the same time. Obviously it was her memory, but it was really cool to watch. I don't think we've really seen that much before. The show's really good at juxtaposing the old and the young scenes, but together in one scene was really cool to see. And it reminded me of when I visit my childhood home and look around and remember or picture myself in the room. It's it was really, really cool. It's really tragic watching Shauna and Adam because they're actually just so sweet. And when you know what happens later, it just makes it even more kind of poignant and sad that they're getting on so well at this stage. And is it just me, or is Adam kind of a little bit like Alden in The Walking Dead? He's got that kind of handsome face, scraggly beard, thick wavy hair, husky voice. Anyway, I picked up the similarities. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Bye.
Thanks, Anwen.
Thanks, Anwen. I actually thought Adam had a little bit of a similarity to Melanie Linsky's husband, Jason Ritter, just in the sort of like Muppety puppy dog quality that he has. But I see the Alden thing too. She's right.
I think I appreciate him more now. I don't know. Like, he's like, I always thought he was cute, but like he's hot.
Yeah.
I think we were so busy speculating about who he was that you couldn't fully appreciate it. And now you can on this rewatch.
All right. And next we have a voicemail from Steve Brown.
Hey, House Podcastica. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Bear Down, Yellow Jackets. I don't know why I just said that way. They buried the corpse from the attic. I think I forgot that. Of course, she has a corkboard. Nat doesn't. Bear Down, she said the title of the episode, Mic Drop. How many times has Sammy been hiding in the closet when they've been having private discussions? Never been great with a long rifle. It just, I shake a little bit too. Besides, they're not really holding it right anyway, so. Reinforcing the Javi is Adam theories that we all had by cutting immediately away from Melanie Linsky to her remembering having sex with him. Okay, I just saw this, and I don't remember seeing this the first time. They're shooting at these cans, and there was just two people walking in the background of where they're shooting. That's huge range safety. No go, no go. You don't walk down range when someone is firing. Ew, one of the ears? Ew. Being in front of the liquor store is so awkward. The nasty, makeshift, cheap screwdriver. At least it's not Mulder scooping frozen orange concentrate into a vodka bottle and drinking it. Oh, Thaisa, drinking on an empty stomach and hallucinating. Yep. The mushrooms that make you puke. Yep. Conundrum that is Jackie. She pushes Van out of the way and then just stands there while the propeller approaches her. She and Travis were on and off again, and apparently this guy Kevin also. I'm assuming this is all after the plane crash. Gore for this is so good for this bonding moment between Nat and Travis when she gets the ring. Ooh, another hallucination or ghost. We never did find out, did we? Jackie or, on the bridge. Well, I guess the safety was off that time, Dad. Misty's hand goes right up. Who wants to try bleeding it out? She definitely kicked his crutch out from under him. Of course, we end with Jeff asking about book club. Later.
That's awesome. That, my friends, is alive, Steve.
That was fantastic. Yes. Thanks, Steve.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. There are quite a few of them. And our next episode will be Yellow Jacket Season 1, Episode 5, Blood Hive.
Oh, boy.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.